Hello, friends. I'm Brian Peart, and I want to welcome you to the Great Awareness Podcast, a podcast focused on helping Christians make sense of this world we are in. The goal is to encourage, but never at the expense of truth. We will take the truth found in Scripture and apply it to the real spiritual battles going on today. We will ignore preconceived beliefs, news media noise, and politicians' words, and look at actions, what is really going on. Then use the truth of Scripture to accurately discern the times and how we need to respond. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that is what we are going to attempt to do with each podcast. Get to the truth so we can live as we've been called. Hey guys, today we're going to talk about forgiveness, how to really forgive yourself and others. The other day I was watching a video of a Jewish rabbi, a Messianic Jew actually. They're Jewish people that believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And he shared something that was interesting about forgiveness and bread. Jesus makes this connection constantly, actually. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses or sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Jesus called himself the bread of life in John 6:35. He was born in Bethlehem, which is Beit Lahem in Hebrew, and it means house of bread. It literally means house of bread. The Hebrew language is alphanumeric. That means every number in the Hebrew alphabet has a corresponding, or every letter has a corresponding number. Bethlehem, the word Bethlehem, which is Beit Lahem, house of bread, the corresponding number comes to 490. Nativity, which is where when Jesus was born, nativity, that word comes to 490. Tamim, which means perfect or complete. Jesus was the Tamim of Israel. He was perfect, complete, the Holy Son of God, also 490. And when Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive his brother, seven times, Jesus said no, 70 times seven, which equals 490. Why did he choose those numbers? Because we cannot be perfect or complete unless we extend the bread of forgiveness to others. So today I'm going to focus on Psalm 51. It was written by David. Little backdrop on it. You know, this was written after he had the affair with Bathsheba and then murdered her husband, Uriah. So essentially, he was a murderer and an adulterer, and yet God called him a man after his own heart. Why? I think one reason is he understood the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Look at the classic David and Goliath. All the Israelites are sitting there scared of this big guy, and David looks at him, little old David, he's just a kid at that time, looks at him and says, he's nothing compared to God, right? The Holy Spirit was on David. In the Old Testament, God gave his spirit to select people. Everyone didn't have the Holy Spirit. David had the Holy Spirit. That's different than it is today, where if we ask him into our hearts, we receive the Holy Spirit. Most Christians don't understand the power that is inside of them, and David did. And I think that's one of the reasons God appreciated him so much. When we ask Jesus into our hearts, he sends the Holy Spirit, God himself, into us. The third member of the Trinity is inside of us. You're already as spiritual as you will ever get. You're not going to become more mature and perfect in your spirit than you are right now. The important thing is in your spirit. We must embrace his love. We must allow the Holy Spirit to grow, to take over more and more of our natural actions, our natural man, our natural self, until we become fully, truly spirit-filled, led by the Spirit. That's not what most of us do. Most of us try to clean ourselves up in our natural fleshly selves. We try to be more prayerful, try to kick our addictions, try to be better people through our human nature, and it just doesn't work. Look around you at Christians in America today. Same divorce rates, same issues as non-Christians. The key is not to try harder to be good. The key is embracing God's love and the Spirit which is already inside of you and allowing it to rule your heart. We were created to rule over God's handiwork. We have been crowned with glory and majesty. Your spirit was made to rule and tear down strongholds, rule over things, including your natural sinful self. In Psalm 8, verses 5 and 6, it says, "You have made him, man, a little lower than God, and have crowned him with glory and majesty. You've made him to rule over the works of thy hands, and have put all things under his feet." The power of God who created the whole universe is inside of you. And yet we struggle. Why? Because we don't believe deep in our hearts that what he did on the cross was enough. We keep trying to get more grace. You can't. Nothing you can do can make God love you more, and nothing you will do will make him love you less. You just have to embrace his love, his spirit, and believe what his word says about you. David understood God's power and the importance of the Holy Spirit. So let's read Psalm 51, verses 1 through 11. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned. You know, that's really interesting right there. He committed adultery, and he murdered a man, and yet it was against God and God alone that he sinned. So when we say harsh words to people, when we talk about people behind their back, when we do things like that, we are actually sinning against God. It's against God and God alone that we sin. So against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We were all born into sin. Behold, you desire truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, as believers, after the cross, we don't have to worry about God taking away the Holy Spirit, but we can block that spirit and its power with sin. If you notice at the end, he was feeling separate from God. He was feeling like God had removed himself from him. And it's because in actuality, that's kind of what happened. That's sin. God is holy, and he can't be where sin is. And so we have to confess, and he is righteous and just, and he will forgive us, okay? David is modeling here the concept. We need to go to God, we need to repent, and we need to ask forgiveness. But then we need to embrace that forgiveness and love and accept it. Put away the shame and the guilt, carry it no longer, and then extend out the same grace, the same forgiveness to others. We need to truly embrace our own forgiveness, forgive those who have wronged us, and ask forgiveness and reconciled with those we have wronged, to allow the Spirit to freely move and work in our hearts. Let's look at these three areas a little bit closer. First thing we do is we have to repent and believe it ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves, okay? We repent and truly believe that what he has done is enough, that he has restored us. You're clean, no guilt or shame. I see people carrying around guilt, anxiety, fear, and worry from things that they did long ago. They worry that their kids are going to be in trouble because of things they did in the past. This has all been cleaned up. If you've taken it to the Lord and you've asked him to forgive yourself, you don't have to carry that any longer. He's taken care of it. He says it in his word, okay? I know I myself have sometimes been sitting there and I'm on my knees in prayer, and all of a sudden I start remembering something that I did, and it'll bring me to tears thinking about how I wronged someone or something. And I just have to bring myself back to the fact that I'm clean from that, okay? I don't have to carry that guilt or shame. I can leave it down there. If I need to cry a little bit with Jesus, that's okay. But I don't need to take it into my day. I need to just let it go and have no guilt or shame. There's nothing you can do to get him to love you more. And there's nothing you can do to lose his love. Embrace this freedom. Stop carrying around guilt and shame. Put it away. God has. He's moved it as far as the east is from the west. So why are you clinging to these things? I hate it for you, but God is crazy about you, okay? He loves you. I have six kids. I love them all the same. I have different relationships with all of them because some of them spend more time with me than others, but I love them all exactly the same. And God loves you just as much as he loved Jesus. In John 17, 23, Jesus prayed a powerful prayer. He asked that God would love us like he loves him. And God answered Jesus' prayer. He loves us just as much as he loved Jesus himself. And so you've been forgiven, okay? If you pray and something comes to your mind where you haven't repented of it yet, repent, clean it out, but then let it go. God's in control and he's forgiven you. You're clean. And go into your day free from the guilt and the shame. It's just a beautiful way to live. Second, we have to forgive others who have wronged us, okay? Pray and ask God to reveal those who you still have not forgiven, okay? You may have a right to be mad at them. What they did was so wrong to you. You may have a right to be mad at them, but you have to give up your rights and forgive them. Think about Jesus on the cross. He didn't deserve that. He had a right to step off of that cross and not go through that, but he gave us his rights to do what the Father asked him to do. How many times do you forgive people? 70 times seven. If you don't, that manifests into anger, okay? If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, if we are still holding a grudge towards something, it manifests into anger, and that blocks the Spirit and the power of God from manifesting in our life. We want God's Spirit. We want God's power, or we should want those things because they're inside of us. We should want that, but you've got to let go of any anger and hate you have towards other people. Just let it go. Forgive them in your heart. Let go of your right to hold a grudge and let it go. They sinned against God, remember. Remember, they sinned against God. So let God take care of it. You forgive them and release. Let go and let God. What all Christians say, but few do. I want you to actually do it. Look at Christ on the cross. He's sitting there being crucified, and he looks down on the people, and he asks God to forgive them, for they don't know what they do. We need to follow that same model. And then third, you need to ask forgiveness of those you have wronged. Humble yourself. Go to them and ask them to forgive you. This can be tough because you may have to go to people like your ex-wife, or you may have to go to people like your kids or people that you haven't even forgotten. But as you pray forgiveness and you pray for God's Spirit to be in you, the Spirit will point out people that you've wronged. And you may not have even realized you wronged them at the time, but you've got to go to them. If you really want to have that Spirit power all throughout you, you got to humble yourself and you got to go to them and ask them to forgive you. They may not. That doesn't matter. As long as you ask them for forgiveness, you ask God first, then you go to them and you ask them, you're clean, okay? I have a daughter. We had a fight. This is 4 or 5 years ago. We had a fight, and she was being disrespectful to my wife, and I raised my voice at her and got on her because she was being disrespectful, and she stormed out, and she didn't talk to me again for 3 years, okay? Now, she was wrong. She was disrespectful, but my attitude of anger and the way I came over the top was wrong as well. I went to her and apologized. I repented to God first. Then I went to her and apologized. And I actually tried 2 or 3 different ways to apologize so that I wasn't leaving no stone unturned. But she didn't accept it. She just stopped communicating with me. So like, you know, when you text someone, normally there's a text back. Not here. If you looked at my phone for those 3 years, it was a text to her, crickets. A text to her, crickets. For 3 years, no response. But here's the thing. During that time, because I had repented and because I had asked her forgiveness, the fact that she didn't forgive me didn't hinder me. I was free. I was hanging with my other 5 kids, enjoying life. And she was doing her life, but she was missing out on that father-daughter relationship. I was missing it too, and I waited for her like the prodigal father in the prodigal son story who just waited for her to come back. But I kept just letting her every once in a while know I love her, and I just waited. And she has begun to come back. Her Father's Day card that she gave me this past Father's Day was probably my favorite gift. And so, but I had to come clean to my daughter, to my child, and come clean and ask her to forgiveness. Again, it doesn't matter that she did. I was free because I don't want anything blocking the Spirit of God and the power of God in my life. So if you want God's power, you want his blessings, you want his favor, okay? You've got to embrace the fact that the Holy Spirit's inside of you. And then you got to remove the things that are blocking that Holy Spirit from manifesting in you. And the biggest of that is unforgiven sin, unrepentant sin, okay? So forgive yourself. Ask God to forgive you, and then trust that what he said on the cross, what he did on the cross, and what he said in his word is true. Then forgive those who have wronged you. Don't carry any hate towards anyone. Just forgive them. And then ask for forgiveness from those you've wronged. And believe. Believe deep in your heart that it's done. Don't carry any more guilt or shame. The cross cleaned it all up. Let go, let God, and embrace His power and love, that deep love in your life, at work, at home, everywhere. Let God manifest in your heart. God bless.